A weak solidarity brekkie team listener when we can but hope True Blue Aussie has not gone too far in upsetting our benevolent father country, the US of the UN of the US of the world, by disobeying orders and not opposing that UN of the US of the UN of the world vote to uphold the International Court of Justice ruling that Zion's occupation of the West Bank is illegal. True Blue Aussie summoning all our renowned courage, all the courage Minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect Penny Left Wing could muster, and taking a firm, unequivocal stand by abstaining. Courage under fire. The non-land, non-people who put the motion had already made a concession by giving Zion a year to get out, but as caring business class party shadow Minister for going overseas, etc., Simon Burning non-people ham pointed out, the motion was hopelessly one-sided. It places conditions on Zion, but the non-land, non-people offer nothing in return, he told the ABC. Pity the interviewer didn't bother to ask Simon what he thought they could offer in return, like, say, stop occupying their non-land. Penny also said True Blue Aussie had tried unsuccessfully to amend the resolution, but again, the in-depth Radio National interviewer just forgot to ask what may have been a fairly pertinent question, like, what amendments? Penny did reiterate that True Blue Aussie is not supplying weapons to Zion. Penny, what about weapon parts? What parts for the jets that are slaughtering the non-land, non-people, for instance? We are not supplying weapons to Zion. We are not sending them directly to Zion. See? The truth. We send them to the US of Merchants of Death, who then send them to Zion. Wonder when these in-depth interviewers will ask those questions. Oh, to ease your concerns, listener, having clearly upset you with that fear about upsetting our father country, the US of, it'll probably be okay as long as we keep handing them billions to subsidise their Merchants of Death nuclear submarine program. Forcus, and aren't they? Simon's and Penny's concerns were endorsed by a True Blue Aussie Zion spokesperson who chastised True Blue Aussie for not voting against the motion, for just getting a heap of splinters in the bum. It was one-sided, he explained, asking for unilateral withdrawal. You can't have just one side withdrawing. Extremely logical and reasonable. If we ignore the minor fact that the non-land, non-people are not occupying their own non-land. Although the Zion spokesperson would know, Zion is not occupying the non-land, it is disputed territory. In fact, Zion knows there cannot be peace there until the non-land, non-people no longer exist in the West Bank or Gaza, and thus is doing all it can to ensure that. The US OB said it opposed the motion because it wanted peace. It really said that. Apparently asking Zion to stop occupying the non-land, non-people's non-land is an impediment to peace. Besides, both the US OB and Zion don't recognise the International Court when they disagree with its findings. The US OB and therefore True Blue Aussie tell us we support a two-state solution without managing to tell us where the non-land, non-people will go, and conveniently ignore the assertion by Zion Supremo Benjamin Not Another Yahoo and his cronies that there will never be a non-land, non-people state. That's the Supremo and his cronies they support. Oh, but of course, if there's no non-land, non-people left in the West Bank and Gaza, problem solved, and Zion can live happily ever after. Zion has also spent the week blowing up terrorists in Lebanon. They sure breed these terrorists young, children terrorists blown to smithereens, but they've been blowing non-land, non-people children terrorists to smithereens for 11 months. Well, more accurately, 76 years. To show how evil these terrorists are, the non-land, non-people and their Middle East neighbours regard the Zion-trained killer machine and Benjamin and his cronies as the terrorists. It's all so relative, isn't it? In the We Couldn't Agree More department, wise words from the True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review, in an editorial accompanying a long feature about the caring business class council of True Blue Aussie, telling us, business-led prosperity is a fundamental belief. Well, the roaring success of the trickle-down effect is proof of that, sprinkling us with those drops of yellow liquid. The people currently in charge of the BCA are intelligent, principled and well-intentioned. Who could disagree with that? At a time when sectional interests dominate, they want to do what is best for all True Blue Aussies. Nor with that. Unless we consider lazy, avaricious workers and evil unions as part of all True Blue Aussies, but the intelligent, principled, well-intentioned, best for all True Blue Aussie caring business class council knows, lazy, avaricious workers and evil unions represent what is worst for all of us, including themselves, self-defeating workers and evil unions, hurting themselves by always putting self, self, self first, unlike the best for all True Blue Aussies BCA, wanting wages, conditions, they don't know what's good for them. The feature article highlighting the great advances we enjoy thanks to the BCA. Our old mate Meg O'Neill before profits of Woodside with profits, exemplifying the gas policy, with the BCA resolving differences of opinion within its membership, she saged, to provide the government with its future of gas policy. Meg outlining the compromise. We landed on a position supporting the use of gas in four key areas. Power supply for industrial purposes, for business, for residential use, and to export to foreign partners. Now, unless we knew it was a compromise, we might think naively it was just more of the same, the status quo. Even better news. The BCA, the article informed us, believes its pragmatic approach helped Minister King Hit Mother Earth, she's the gas and fossil industry minister who just loves a bit of gas and oil, and fossils minister Chris Bowen to Capital's future gas strategy. Bowen too had previously been circumspect about gas. Indeed, the Albanese government has shed its ambivalence toward gas, adopting a strategy that locks it into its use beyond 2050. This would, the BCA said, help in the transition from gas. No sense rushing these things, obviously. The mind boggles at what the policy might have been like if it wasn't a compromise. This Capitalist Review bout of caring business class hagiography preceded the BCA's annual general dinner, where they were forced to point out the disasters facing True Blue Aussie. And don't forget, these intelligent, principled, well-intentioned altruists want nothing but what is best for all of us. All of us who are not lazy, avaricious workers or evil unionists. Disasters emanating from the socialist crippling industrial relations laws like having to pay workers, including labour hire workers, equal pay for equal work. Outrageous. Giving workers a right not to be contacted between bouts of wage slavery, and why the poor struggling resource industry might have to let evil unions in the door. Worse, they are threatened with environmental green tape, totally unnecessary green tape, creating costly delays before they get their approval to pollute anyway. Barrier after barrier to what is good for all True Blue Aussies. Despite all that, Big Supremo Anthony Albanese told the assembled practitioners of the greatest little economic order of them all, "The socialists are a friend of business and a friend of workers." An acute case of class schizophrenia. Well, would be if there were such a thing as class struggle, but his caring business class audience knows there is no such thing. Anthony then heading off to pay tribute at the feet of our US of Masters, and then former ACTU Secretary Little Billy Kiltem made the front page next morning by attacking the socialists. Kiltem blasts socialist failure on economy. A government mired in mediocrity must confront the big issues. praising Little Billy for his role in the accord in wage moderation and a more entrepreneurial and open economy. His views, the Capitalist Review told us, fit with those of business leaders and economists concerned at the government's lack of a credible strategy to boost economic growth. Gee, who would have thought? He unleashed this latest bout of wisdom at a business lunch, including great friends of the workers to whom Little Billy has devoted his life, like former caring business class big economic guru Josh Friedem Icebergs, former football now gambling supremo Gil McLaughlin, a former Worstpac director and their ilk, a balanced cross-section of Little Billy society. Little Billy also declaring, "My politics are neither of the left nor right." Well, hate to say it, but he's half wrong there. Having worked as a unionist and now for billionaire trucking magnate Lindsay Foxy, I've never stopped being a unionist and never stopped supporting growth and entrepreneurship. His version of Anthony's friend of business and friend of workers, but we can be sure he won't destroy Lindsay's capitalist empire like he destroyed the trade union movement. Interesting Little Billy calling others mediocre. On the great resource industry, not mediocre, intelligent, principled, well-intentioned, true blue Aussie, filthiest rich of the filthy rich, Gina Hart-Hart, has again thrown up an idea to make life better for all of us. Drop all taxes on the resource industry north of a certain line, just by pure coincidence where much of her wealth is located. This would save at least 3,500 jobs. See? Always thinking of the common good, the old Gina, never driven by self-interest. Last week, the state had to protect the peacemakers, the merchants of death displaying their wares, their awareness that war is peace, while a rabble bent on opposing war, on failing to understand we can't have peace without war, were creating havoc on the streets and perpetrating violence on the poor, just doing their job protecting the peace-loving warmongers. Then this week, as the filthiest rich of met at the BCA annual general dinner, uncouth, lawless, evil unionists took to the streets, seriously hurting the economy of those intelligent, principled, well-intentioned, good for all of us, filthiest rich of. It's not easy being filthy rich, like struggling supermarkets. Lucky, lucky, lucky fans can enjoy feeding your passion for footy thanks to Woolworths Trillions, being footy sport, advertising obviously a healthy diet of salt-laden cheeses, sausages comprising God knows what, plenty more salt and fat, meat pies from the freezer, plenty more salt and fat, tomato or barbecue sauce in plastic bottles with which to drown your sausages and pies, sugar-laden soft drinks, salt and sugar-laden bread rolls, and a super-sized pack of salt-covered biscuits. Lay into that lot, feed your passion, and you'd be touch and go to make it to half time before the cardiac tragedy. Blood of viscous sludge, on which there's ads running, mainly during the footy, with well-known players promoting McDonald's salt, sugar and fat rubbish. Surely they earn enough not to sell out to that lot, elite athletes promoting anti-health and fitness. Finally, government attempts to pour billions into the pockets of the real estate and development industry are being thwarted by the bloody greens who want all those billions to be wasted on public housing, despite Anthony pointing out publicly funded private build-to-rent developers would provide affordable rentals. But Anthony, the build-to-rent sector caters solely for the top end of the market, for the filthy rich. And like I said, for those people that will provide affordable rentals, those greens, another blow to the filthy rich. Like we said, it's not easy being rich. Good morning.